Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. I'm glad to have back on the show my guest, Ken Rolla, and today we're going to be discussing clearing radioactivity. Ken is an expert in radioactivity, in chemtrail, GMO, and health in general, how to stay healthy in this age where we're challenged with different things that are not well publicized. And today we're going to talk more specifically about radioactivity, because this is a major problem that is not being covered by the mainstream media. And Ken's going to bring us up to date on the problem and what you can do to solve it. Ken's located just south of Daytona, Florida. And Ken, would you like to give your listeners your website before we start, so that if they want to follow what you're saying, they can go to your website while we're doing the show?
Sure. My website is freshandalive.com, A-N-D spelled out, and my blog, which is where I have most of my educational material, is freshandaliveblog.com.
Now, we had talked a little bit about radioactivity on our last show, and you can find the archives of that show in at plasticos.com under Resources and Radio shows. But today we're going to go more into detail on radioactivity. What are the challenges right now, Ken?
Well, there are several severe threats to our health that most people are totally unaware of. They're kind of like modern-day symptoms of our advanced technology and the misuse of some of it. And among them, we've got genetically modified food and organisms and microbes and things like that. We've got geoengineering pollutants, and we've got nuclear fallout coming down from nuclear accidents nuclear disasters, maybe not accidents, because I think evidence supports that Fukushima may have been an engineered event. But the Fukushima nuclear disaster, Chernobyl, and many others, there are thousands of nuclear leaks around the planet that go unreported. And this radiation gets into our food, into our water. And in the case of Fukushima, you know, there have been billions of becquerels of radioactivity flowing into the ocean daily since March of 2011. And after about 2 months of measuring this stuff, the Japan's equivalent of the EPA, I forget the name of the organization, Meteorological Research Agency, I believe it is, and the U.S. FDA and Health Canada all shut off their monitoring of atmospheric and ocean-borne radioactivity. And it's because the levels were so outrageously high that they didn't want the public getting wind of it. And that hasn't subsided. You know, people have forgotten about Fukushima and think that, oh, it's just going away. But radioactivity doesn't go away for a long, long time. And those reactors melted through their containment and went down into the ground. Nobody even knows where the cores are anymore. And so this is polluting the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, massively, and also the atmosphere. Dr. Patrick Flanagan, who's a friend of mine, has actually gone around the world and taken with a very expensive Geiger counter, has taken samples of the atmosphere and the radioactivity in it, and there's very high levels in the upper atmosphere. In fact, he says that it's dangerous to fly, and he won't fly unless he absolutely has to. And I've noted that when I've been on planes. I've had friends who have been flying with Geiger counters and shown elevated levels in certain areas. It's not consistent throughout the globe, but you hit certain areas where radioactivity in the airplanes is very high. And so this fallout is coming down worldwide, and it's not just in the northern hemisphere. Some people think that, oh, well, down in South America and the southern hemispheres, they don't have to worry about it, but that's not true. Patrick Flanagan has measured and shown this radioactivity is coming down everywhere, some places worse than others. But it's hitting all across the United States. It's coming down in rainwater across the United States. Chernobyl already... the state of Pennsylvania and I think a couple other states did studies back when Chernobyl happened and made a direct correlation between increased mortality rates in those states and the poisoning of their water supplies with cesium-137 that was directly contributed to Chernobyl. And also millions, it's been officially, there have been millions of deaths attributed to Chernobyl fallout around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the official. It's, of course, very conservative.
Right.
So the reality of it is we've had this fallout coming down on us for a long time, not to mention the 2,044-plus atomic bomb tests that have occurred since the 1940s in the world. And so all of that has created a very radioactive world, and this stuff is coming down on us. It's coming down in the rain. It's getting on our crops and in our water supplies, and it doesn't matter if you're eating organic or biodynamic or whatever. It's coming down on our food supply. So we have to have methods for getting it out of our bodies and neutralizing it and getting it out of the environment and neutralizing it. And as it turns out, back in the early 90s, I was working with free energy technology with a man named Yul Brown. For those folks that want to look him up, it's Yullbrown, Yul Brown. He developed a water fuel technology that could power things non-toxically, but it could also neutralize radioactivity. Basically, you would take radioactive materials and you could burn them with this gas in combination with other metals, and it would transmutate the radioactive element into non-radioactive elements and get rid of the radiation. And I had witnessed that done with several Department of Energy officials and five congressmen from the U.S. Congress and a bunch of physicists and engineers and people measuring this stuff. And so I knew that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, as it turns out, there are, I think, 66 patents or 61 patents worldwide for methods for neutralizing radioactivity, including 8 of them in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this has been since at least the 1970s we've had these solutions. Back in 1975, University of Arizona State, Arizona State University Professor Emeritus Radha Roy developed a method for neutralizing radioactivity. And that guy has impeccable credentials. So it's not like that this is fringe science or that, oh, it's a rare occurrence or anything like that. No, it's not. We've ever since we've had radioactivity, we've had solutions for neutralizing it. And, in fact, the Russians found out that they put radioactive elements down very deep wells, about 20,000 feet deep, and discovered that when they got down that deep underneath the surface of the Earth, they became non-radioactive. And when they were brought back up to the surface, it took several days for them to become radioactive again. And they figured out that radioactivity is an emission that comes from those materials, those elements, that have the atomic structure that pick up scalar waves coming from the sun and then convert it to radioactivity.
Mm-hmm.
So there are multiple ways of neutralizing radioactivity, and there are simple and inexpensive ways that average people can do. And that's what I've been teaching for years is, number one, how to get it out of the body or how to neutralize it in the body, and then how to get it out of your local environment, how to get it off of your crops and your garden and your soil and your yard, how to neutralize it there, and then how to prevent it from ever coming down on you by keeping it out of the atmosphere. And so so I found solutions for all those, or I developed my own solutions. I wound up developing a device that I call the Home Shield that is a small scalar wave device about the size of a 2-gallon bucket, and that will put out a vortex of scalar waves that is like an upside-down tornado, and the point of the tornado is out in space. And so it acts like a big vacuum cleaner in the atmosphere, and it just pulls pollution out of the atmosphere and pulls it out into space. It doesn't have any negative side effects whatsoever. It just simply pulls out pollution that's not supposed to be there. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't pull anything else out of the atmosphere, just pollution. And when you pull the pollutants out of the atmosphere, of course, you keep the geoengineering pollutants from coming down on you. You keep the nuclear fallout from coming down on you. You keep other air pollution from coming down on you. But also, when you do that, all of these particles are charged particles that throw off the ionic charge of the atmosphere and create severe weather. So when you clean that up and balance the charge, then you also get normalized weather for your area. And so in addition to having those benefits, it can also help protect against severe weather of any kind, whether it's droughts or floods or hurricanes or tornadoes or tropical storms or whatever. You just see normal balanced weather for your area. And we've observed with live radar that when these storms come and hit these areas of clean atmosphere with a balanced charge, they either bounce off or they fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that would
so
have
my
been
approach,
good lately.
Yeah. It, and you know, we've got Florida. There are various people. I'm not the only one. And by the way, I did put about 40 so-called dead man triggers out, which basically I've given all of the detailed information on how to build my technology to 40 different people. Some of them, they're very high-profile people who have access to large media outlets. In case anything happens to me, this information would be disseminated far and wide. So it won't do anybody any good if they try and incarcerate me or kill me. It will go out much more massively.
Right.
Because I have had, you know, when I worked with Free Energy, I had friends who were murdered for trying to get water fuel out to the world. And so
that's very common. If you look at the history of Free Energy, it's not at all unusual. They either try to arrest you and incarcerate you or kill you.
Exactly. So, you know, people can do this themselves. This is one of the things I've been teaching. You can do the same thing with pyramids or with Wilhelm Reich-type cloud busters, which are kind of materials made with pipes and this material called organite. There was a man named Carl Hans Vels. If anybody wants to check him out, his website is welz.us, I believe. He invented a material called organite, which is combining some type of a non-conducting substrate like a resin or a plaster or a concrete or something like that with metal particles and mineral particles, particularly mineral particles that are high in monoatomic elements, which is another story. But basically, he created this material that will put out scalar waves and scalar fields. Mm-hmm. And so people can build pyramids or cones and put these things outside, and they will also clear this stuff out of the atmosphere.
Yeah,
so,
we bury a lot in certain locations around cell towers and different areas that we're guided to bury it at to clear things.
Exactly.
And I want to say a little bit about the home shield. I have one at in my bedroom and one in my office, and I feel energy very well, as you know, and the scalar energy coming off of that is very, very high energy, fifth-dimensional energy for sure, helps you sleep. It, you know, I have to keep my cell phone on because I'm on call, so I don't have the luxury of turning it off, you know, like some people should do. So it's important to have that kind of protection in the bedroom when you're sleeping.
Yeah, the devices you have are the little pyramids, right?
Right. Well, I have the other one, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay, the rest shields, the pyramids, I call the rest shields, the larger one. It's basically seven of those pyramids in one package.
Right.
Which you also have is the home shield. And the home shield, we're now only selling them solar-powered, battery-powered, because we found that when severe weather comes through, if it knocks the power out, then these things go
down.
Right, So they're solar and battery-powered now.
Mm-hmm.
You just stick it outdoors and it does its thing. And then, of course, it also, because it is essentially the same as the rest shield, you get the protection from EMF, you get the improved sleep and improved plant growth in your yard and that kind of stuff. So it's like a whole house rest shield.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've already been exposed.
Yeah,
when you've already been exposed. What do you do then?
Well, when you've been exposed, then I found this out firsthand. This is kind of the way spirit plays with me. It's like I'm not going to volunteer
you gotta solve
for radiation
your problems. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to volunteer for radiation poisoning. So So I get thrust into these situations where I have to figure things out for myself. And so I got exposed to radioactivity by ingesting it in my food. And presumably it was probably some of the Fukushima fallout or something coming down on California, I'm guessing. But I was eating very, very healthy. I was eating a really beautiful sprouted salad with all kinds of vegetables and stuff in it. And my wife had the exact same thing from the same bowl, didn't have a problem. But after about an hour of eating it, I started getting this burning in my stomach, and I didn't know what it was. I'd never felt anything like it before. And after a day, it got worse, and I was having a lot of gas and just felt really, really weird. And it was not horribly painful, but it was painful, kind of sore. But I was really, really concerned. It felt like something very serious, and I didn't know what it was, but I just thought that, you know, whatever it was, I might actually have to go to a hospital, which for me is anathema. I just don't go to hospitals. But and so I wasn't suspecting radioactivity at all. And I have a practitioner of a device called a QXCI SCIO in my area. It's falls under the category of quantum biofeedback, but it's basically a scalar energy device that's very sophisticated, that's coupled with software, and you get hooked up to this machine, and it can analyze what's going on in your body, and it can tell if you've got certain toxins or parasites or pathogens or cancer mm-hmm. cells or whatever. It can even tell if you've got emotional issues. It can tell what's going on in the body. And so I called her to get an appointment, and I couldn't get an appointment for about 5 days. And so I just started, as it turns out, I was already taking, for a couple of weeks, I'd been testing this new zeolite supplement called Advanced TRS that is a nano zeolite, which means that, first of all, zeolites are these minerals that are formed when lava hits, molten lava hits water, like seawater or underground water, and it shocks the magma, and it turns into these crystalline forms that at the atomic level they look like little geodesic balls, like little buckyballs. In fact, that's what they are. And they have a very strong charge inside these little cages, as they're called. And so these particles, when you ingest them, they go into the body, and because they have a strong negative charge in each cage, they'll latch onto anything that has a positive charge, which turns out is free radicals and toxins and pathogens. Mm-hmm. So it'll grab onto those and pull them out. Up to a certain point, it can't get the what are called the transuranic elements on the periodic chart, which are the radioactive elements above uranium on the periodic chart.
Yeah.
Their particle sizes are too large for zeolites to pull out, so you have to use clays and other things to pull those out. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I was testing out these nanozeolites and for a couple weeks. And so I thought maybe it was pathogenic or whatever. So I just started taking a few more supplements, and I was already taking those zeolites. And by the time I got to get a SCIO session, it was showing alpha, beta, and gamma radioactivity in my digestive tract. Mm-hmm. And so I knew immediately then what was going on, but by the time I got the reading, the symptoms were going down. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, there's
still very dangerous.
Oh yeah, and
radioactivity stays with you until you do something about it.
Exactly,
it doesn't go away.
Exactly, and it does all kinds of damage along the way, and. You know, when these things happen, it's like years ago I got exposed to rabies, and it wound up turning into this big spirit trick where I figured it all out and I solved the problem. And the same thing with this. It's like the things fell in my lap that I needed as I needed them. So I get the SCIO session, and come to find out, it turns out because the SCIO is a scalar energy machine, and scalar energy can actually create and alter matter. It's actually what our physical universe is made of. It's this energy, this superluminal light that slows down and coagulates into 3D matter and energy that we can see and measure. Mm-hmm. So these scalar machines can actually alter matter within the body, and they can, turns out, the SCIO and its newer version called the Indigo, and there's another one called the Eductor, which is a newer version, and another machine called the Life System. Those can all neutralize radioactivity in the body because they're working with scalar waves. So I got zapped for 3 hours by this thing, with the anti-frequencies of all known radioactive elements. Mm-hmm. And in 3 hours, the radioactivity was gone, and I felt great. And I had no idea that those machines were capable of that. So then, a few days later, as it turns out, Dr. Gabriel Cousins of the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center out in Arizona called me up, and I got to talk to him, and I said, hey, I found a way to get rid of radioactivity in the body, and I told him about the zeolites and the SCIO. And he said, well, we have this supplement that we found that is the only thing that we've seen that will zero it out totally in the body. I said, really? So he told me about it. It was some stuff called, his version was called Rad Neutral. Mm-hmm. And now we've got it, found the manufacturer and got it now on our website. It's called Rad Detox. And it's a really weird supplement that is in a new class of supplements that I call Ormus homeopathics. And what they are simply water that have monoatomic minerals dissolved in them. And monoatomic minerals are very weird elements. They're not conventional matter. Normally, like monoatomic minerals or Ormus elements, they consist of the platinum group metals on the periodic chart, gold, silver, copper, and mercury. It turns out they can all exist rather than their normal form, which is thousands of atoms in a particle all bundled together very, very tightly, very strongly, in some kind of, at the atomic level, it looks like a three-dimensional grid pattern of some sort. It's called a crystalline lattice. But it turns out you can run these metals and these elements through certain processes like photosynthesis, fermentation, vortexing in water, and they will break down into individual discrete atoms of the metals, which according to conventional physics is impossible. But as it turns out, it happens all the time in nature. And when you do that, these elements, not only do they become superconducting, which means they conduct electricity with zero resistance, they create very, very strong superconducting fields called Meissner fields. They're anti-gravitational. They have all these weird effects because they are not conventional matter. When they get into this form, they're so small, they become this sort of multidimensional metamatter where part of the element is actually a physical mineral or atom in our regular 3D universe, but the majority of it actually exists simultaneously in other dimensions of time and space or other frequencies of time and space. Mm-hmm. And so these elements actually are linking these different dimensions of space-time together. And inside the body, that's how they actually make the link between consciousness and the physical structures of the body. It turns out that these elements are deposited in the brain, in the neural pathways of the brain, in the pineal gland, in the nervous system, all along what people call the acupuncture meridians. They're actually deposits of these superconducting elements. And then the DNA itself has large amounts of these superconducting elements in them. And so it turns out that the DNA is a superconducting antenna that is an interface between consciousness and the physical body, along with these other structures I mentioned. So you've got these interfaces between consciousness and the physical body. And this is how we actually heal and regenerate cells. Turns out that the genetic blueprint, we've been told it's in the DNA, but the DNA is actually the carrier of it. It's the antenna that picks it up and conveys it into the physical structures of the body. But the actual blueprint is informational, and it's in the consciousness of the organism, and it can't be destroyed. And this is how you're able to heal DNA and even revert genetically modified organisms by feeding them these monoatomic elements, raising the superconductivity in the DNA, and then that genetic blueprint from the consciousness of the organism can come through better and express itself, and then you will see amazing transformations. For example, feeding GMO plants these monoatomics, it will revert them back to the original air limbs in that plant. They will just actually physically morph back into the original non-GMO air limb version. And so in human beings, you can also use these elements for healing DNA damage from GMOs and also from radioactivity. And so this is one that I've, along with these scalar energy devices, this is one that I've been emphasizing for many years for staying healthy amidst all of this craziness and this radioactivity, is using these monoatomic elements, ideally getting them in food, because it turns out these monoatomics come from several different sources, but primarily from volcanic rock. So you can take, for example, volcanic rock powders, and you can either put them on soil and put microbes down, and the microbes will eat them and break them down and create the monoatomics, which plants will then uptake, so you can feed your crops that way. Or you can actually ingest them if they're in natural forms. There's a rock powder called azomite, and some people will ingest that, and the body's not going to break it all down because it's inorganic minerals, but it will break some of it down. Or a better solution, aside from getting it in food, you can ferment it. You can take these minerals, like these rock powders, and you can ferment them with, there's a microbe mixture that we sell called Effective Microorganisms, and that will break these elements down into bioavailable forms. And you can also take minerals and vortex them in magnetic fields, and it will break them down. And so there's actually an appliance you can buy for your kitchen called a water vitalizer. And it looks like a little blender, and it vortexes water and creates a really nice vortex. And it also creates a very strong electric field. And when you put, say, liquid sea minerals into that water, and actually the vitalizer will mineralize the water itself. Even if you started with distilled water, it has a mineral cube, and it will mineralize the water itself. But you can add sea minerals, which have the exact ratio of minerals that the body has, and you can put some of that in there, vortex it, and it will create high levels of these monoatomics, which you can then ingest, and that will help heal all kinds of stuff, including radioactivity. Now, there's also a slew of other natural foods and herbs that will remove radioactivity from the body, you know, along with the RAD detox and the COSIVA Advanced TRS. There's a monoatomic monoatomic iodine product on the market called Alumidine that has been scalar energy charged with all the anti-frequencies of all the known radioactive elements. So that will provide iodine to the thyroid and help it from picking up radioactive iodine or cesium. Mm-hmm. And while it's doing that, it goes into the body and it radiates these anti-frequencies that will help neutralize radioactivity. Then you've got liposomal vitamin C. That's been proven in Fukushima and in Chernobyl to be very effective at removing radioactivity from the body. Mm-hmm. You can buy that online or you can make it. There are actually videos on YouTube showing how to make liposomal vitamin C.
Right.
Apple pectin is phenomenal. That's been proven in Fukushima and Japan for removing radioactivity from people's bodies. You can go online, like Herbs First, herbs, F-I-R-S-T.com. They sell bulk apple pectin powder, which is just powdered apple peel. And so I'll take that and throw it in the smoothies and stuff and cocktails. For the transuranic elements, getting those larger particles out of the gut or other, you know, heavy metals and things, you can use food-grade charcoal, activated charcoal. You can use clays of various kinds. You've got bentonite clay. There's a product called Sunny 7, which you can get in most health food stores. It's really good for pulling toxins out of the gut. You've also got Mount Morlanite clay, which is another one that's very good for doing pulling stuff out of the gut. There's actually a clay called Sacred Clay, and there's actually a whole line of clays from a company called Vitality Herbs and Clay, and they have clays that are not only do they, they're like the Mount Morlanite, they pull these toxins out, but they're also high in ormus elements. So you can ingest them and get ormus into the body, and you can also ferment them. So what I do is make a powder mixing all of those. I take apple pectin and the clays and the charcoal, and I even throw in some powdered chia or flax, mix that all together, and then I've got a powder that I can throw into water and ingest if I get any kind of, feel anything coming on.
I wanted to say that when we do applied kinesiology on cancer patients, a lot of them have uranium, and we've been using just Folium PX, which is a supplement that, that removes uranium and some other things that are, I guess, more difficult to remove. But that probably uranium exposures occur through the food in the areas where the above-ground nuclear explosions have been done, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. We see that with people in the Southwest, like Las Vegas.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of that.
Very
in Las
common.
Vegas.
And usually the patients have lived in that area.
Exactly. Very true. Yeah, and that's it. That's the cool thing is that, you know, people tend to, we've been so programmed with this slave mentality that people just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, oh, well, gosh, what are we going to do? And the reality is when you understand that consciousness creates reality, the polarities of consciousness or the polarities of energy that, that create the, these problems, simultaneously you always have the solutions created because this energy flows in polarities. So So right. there's always some brilliant person who's developing solutions as some crazy person's developing a problem.
That's right. That's very true.
So rather than getting in victimhood, you know, right. start looking for the solutions. You know, there are tons of things that will remove radioactivity from the body.
Right.
You know, herbs, wheatgrass, chlorophyll, chlorella, seaweeds, all kinds of stuff
mm-hmm.
that will pull this stuff out of the body and also get it off your land. You know, these effective microorganisms, I have a video on the resources page at freshandalive.com of a farmer in Fukushima City who has no detectable radiation on his crops or his soil,
mm-hmm.
and all he did was take dirt cheap effective microorganisms, microbes, and dilute mm-hmm. it in water, thousands of parts of water per one part of the EM, and spray it on his soil and his crops. And those
wow.
microbes will eat the radioactive elements, break them down into non-toxic mm-hmm. elements. And they had it tested. You can see it right on video where they test it and say, you have no detectable radiation, when all the farms around him are just mm-hmm. heavily dosed with it.
Well,
and it's not expensive.
We really have to conclude that if all of these answers are out there, that Fukushima, probably because what I heard was that the Japanese were going to make some moves economically to devalue the dollar, and I have to assume it's part of depopulation. It has to be.
Yeah, I think there's multiple agendas. When I first heard about the Fukushima disaster a day or so after it happened, my
mm-hmm.
first thought was, I wonder if the United States used a scalar energy weapon to create the earthquake, because they
mm-hmm.
I already knew from working with advanced technologies how things really work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I Googled it. I Googled Fukushima scalar weapon, and one of the first things that came up was an interview by Benjamin Fulford, who was the former editor-in-chief of Forbes China, interviewing
mm-hmm.
the Minister of Finance of Japan. And in
mm-hmm.
this video, the Minister of Finance said unequivocally that the United States, not only did they use a scalar weapon to create the earthquake that caused the Fukushima disaster, but they also did it twice before.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that said they did it to blackmail Japan into economic policies against China, because China and Russia and this alliance of nations called the BRICS Alliance
right.
are working to move the world's reserve currency from being the U.S. dollar to being the Chinese
mm-hmm.
Yenmingbing. And the world's reserve currency, for folks that aren't familiar with that, is the currency that countries use to do business between themselves.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, if Germany wants to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, they've got to take real assets, convert them to dollars, and then go buy the oil. Whereas we just have our own free printing press. We just print up dollars.
We just print them and they're not backed by anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would encourage people to Google Benjamin Fulford and get on his list of information. He has about a weekly or biweekly update of all of this, which is very very good information and keeps you up
Benjamin
to date
Fulford
with where
that,
we
yeah.
are. Yeah.
And the thing you have to understand
thing.
About Benjamin Fulford, he is admittedly a CIA asset, and so, you know, his information may be skewed, it may have agendas, but he does point out a lot of factual information that you can look up
right.
and get a much better
right.
idea of what's going on.
He kind of has a unique viewpoint, too, from, you know, there's many different reports out there, but his reports are very direct, to the point, and detailed-oriented. So,
very much so, and because he's based in Asia,
mm-hmm.
and he knows a lot of the, let's say, Asian mafia types and
mm-hmm.
Secret societies there,
right.
he has a lot of really information about that. And my wife, who's from Taiwan, you know, because of her history growing up in Taiwan and her family being from China, they know a lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff that average American and Westerners don't know.
Right.
And so when Benjamin Fulford brought up things like that Chiang Kai-shek had looted a ton of gold from China when World War II was going on and Mao took over China, Chiang Kai-shek, who was at that time the leader of China, he was booted out of the country, so he fled to Taiwan and set up the government there. And he stole a ton of gold and treasures
mm-hmm.
that became part of a museum in Taiwan. And the Chinese people know. I mean, the Chinese people there know all about it. Anybody can go and visit it. It's public. But it's built on the side of this mountain. Now, what
mm-hmm.
I didn't know, I actually went and visited this back when I was in my 20s, And what I didn't know at the time was, my wife knew and never mentioned it, is that that museum, quote, museum, at any given time only has a small fraction of the gold that on display that was actually that's actually there. They mm-hmm. apparently have a huge vault built into this mountain where they've got most of this gold sequestered away. And as it turns mm-hmm. out, there's been these caches of gold around the planet, one of them, a large one, being in Asia, that's been stolen back and forth between different countries mm-hmm. that came about through trade back in ancient times between the East and the West, basically between China and Rome. And anyway, they accumulated these vast reserves of gold that are unofficial and are not on the public gold market.
Right.
And so a lot of what we see going on this planet is fighting and scrapping over that gold, stealing it back and forth, mm-hmm. having wars to mask the theft mm-hmm. of this stuff. And so Benjamin Fulford talks about that kind of stuff. But this
right.
is part of the agenda. There are much, much bigger things going on this planet that most people are not aware of. And quite frankly, most people probably wouldn't even believe. There's extraterrestrial yeah. involvement. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to just mention very briefly that my uncle was involved with NOAA in the 70s, and he told me personally then that they had the technology then to create earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes, either to create them or stop them or, you know, manipulate
precisely.
Them. And if it's in the 70s, and, you know, I mean, you can imagine how much better we're at it now.
Well, exactly. You know, back then and even until just a few recent years, they built these large devices that took many acres of land, or they were very large antennas that were ocean-going,
mm-hmm.
called scalar interferometers. And some people know them more commonly as HARP antennas, but HARP
right.
no longer really exists because they have decommissioned them in exchange for much smaller technology that's much easier to hide.
Right.
But Tesla developed this stuff back in the early 1900s and, mm-hmm. of course, was stolen from him by the U.S. government when he died, well, before
right.
he died, actually. But so that's where this technology came from. But what they figured out is it's a scalar wave technology, which, you know, scalar waves are this superluminal light, and they've harnessed it and can use it because these waves can create or alter matter.
Mm-hmm.
So you can inject an area with scalar waves of certain frequencies, and you can heat up the atmosphere, or in the case of earthquakes, you can heat up the ground and cause tectonic shifts and create earthquakes. And Tesla was known for doing that, and on a few occasions he created earthquakes by accident that almost tore his
mm-hmm.
building apart. So,
and you can also use the same thing to create interdimensional portals. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That's the other thing. The secret space program is involved with that, and basically people in the secret space program say nuclear weapons are obsolete. The scalar weapons are what are used.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, really, nuclear weapons are not really even they're antiquated compared to what.
Well,
we
they are, now. And they're like a hammer. They're like, you know, trying to kill somebody with a hammer. They
right, it destroys everything else.
Yeah, they're very destructive, and not just
right.
you know, from the standpoint of a conventional explosion. What people, most people, don't know about nuclear explosions is that they are interdimensional explosions. They're not just in the
right.
3D physical world, and this was proven
exactly
when
right.
they did the first atomic bomb test, because the yields mm-hmm. were much higher than what they had calculated.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because they're bringing in scalar energy from these other dimensions of space-time,
right.
what scientists call zero-point energy, but it's just
mm-hmm.
it's superluminal light that's
yeah.
multidimensional. So you get this higher yield, but it rips through the fabric of time and space, and these extraterrestrials, it's affecting them, and they're not going to let us keep messing with it. And in fact,
well,
that's what I've
heard.
Well,
and that's really, really true. I was involved with some of the Syrian ambassadors who have been instrumental in informing the UN as well as other governments that regular nuclear tests will not be allowed. And when we ask about the recent thing in North Korea, which was like supposedly an earthquake and a landslide, that was the evidence of a nuclear explosion, we were told that no nuclear explosion occurred. So, you know, I'm sure they launched the missiles. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
You know, there's pictures of that missile launch, if you've seen that. I'm sure they are launching missiles, and I'm sure they're trying to develop a nuclear program. But
yeah.
basically, I other than a dirty bomb, I really don't think we're going to have any problem with anybody exploding a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, I agree. And you don't even have to take our word for it. Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer, has got interviews with dozens of military people, many of whom have said that these extraterrestrials are not letting them detonate nuclear devices or run the Hadron Collider and do the things they want to do with the Hadron Collider, et cetera, et cetera.
I was on the Internet, and I was looking up some of this stuff, and I think it was a Christian newspaper on the Internet or a Christian publication, and the guy who was writing the article was in the government in charge of one of these nuclear programs, and he in detail told about how anytime they tried to do anything, the electronics were fried. So.
Right, and even,
I mean, that's our government. Let our government do it. You think they're going to let North Korea do it? I don't think so.
Well, exactly. Well, and even just in mainstream media, when they were going to do a big experiment a few years ago with the Hadron Collider that people were concerned mm-hmm. could destroy the Earth, and it didn't happen. When they mm-hmm. tried to run the experiment, nothing happened at all. Something should have happened.
Yeah.
And these are people who allegedly are the best and the brightest physicists in the world, blah, 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 and yet, very unscientifically and very uncharacteristically, their spokesperson, who was a physicist, said in the mainstream news, well, I guess God doesn't want us doing this. Right?
Or the extraterrestrials that don't
exactly.
want their dimension affected. I think
exactly.
that's probably more likely.
That's
well,
it.
Today is the 23rd of September, and there is stories on the Internet about an astrological alignment today that is special. Would you like to comment on what you know about that?
I don't know very much about it because just yesterday somebody was telling me that it was being prophesized that today was the end of the world, and I said, well, I've heard
that. Right. Well, we don't think that's true. But
I've heard that a bunch of times.
It's biblical, though. It is biblical that when this particular alignment occurs, some sort of...
Well, there are all kinds of alignments from time to time that make mm-hmm. radical shifts in consciousness, and depending on how aware you are, I don't follow astrology too much anymore because what I've found is that, for one thing, I find it very tedious as a Pisces, but also I just feel it. I already know
right.
what's going on astrologically. I feel it. So I don't really need to look at the details of it. But I can say, like, when you have events like this eclipse and things, these change the energy that's coming onto this planet. Long story short, you've got this superluminal light emanating from the centers of galaxies, and it's relayed to this network. It's kind of like a wireless network. Mm-hmm. And all the nodes, the routers that broadcast this energy outward and relay it onward, are the suns and the planets and the cosmos. They mm-hmm. have black holes at their center that act as relays for this energy. So it's zooming outward from the center of the galaxies and being relayed from sun to sun to sun and planet to planet and sun outward. And it comes to us down from our sun and up from the center of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have changes in the arrangement of the planet, or you're blocking with, when the moon gets in between the sun and the Earth with an eclipse mm-hmm. or something, then you're going to alter the pattern of that scalar energy coming to the planet,
right.
and that's going to shift consciousness. Now, you also right. have the Earth and the whole galaxy. It's everything. This universe is in motion. It's moving through space.
Mm-hmm.
And so we move through bands of higher and lower energies and different frequencies of energy. And so supposedly right now we're going through a band of very high energy that is really pumping the shift of consciousness on this planet. And so
that's what I've been told.
And it also affects the weather.
Hearing that this energy that's coming in today is kind of like a reset as well. It's kind of like pushing a reset button. And that it's going to create new opportunities for more fifth-dimensional consciousness on Earth.
And I totally blew it, because if you just look at what's going on this planet, it is completely unsustainable, and something is going to have to give.
Right.
We're either going to destroy ourselves, which I don't think we will, or we're going to have to make a huge leap and shift in consciousness. And that is going on.
It is going on.
I'm there with you. I totally believe it. Yeah, that we're going. I mean, I just look at commonsensically at people's attitudes and things, and folks that just a few years ago would laugh at all of this stuff now are taking it very seriously, and making big changes in their lives.
Well, there's a lot to be said that we're really on a very small planet, and what our neighbors do and what we do affects each other in a way that we cannot really even, well, we're not aware of because it's out of the mainstream media, but it certainly is significant, and we just can't continue to pollute the planet, especially, like I said, the most dangerous thing is probably the radioactivity, although the GMOs and the chemtrails and the other things we've mentioned are also very serious health risk. And Ken has a lot of information on his website about how to deal with these things, because we don't want to just scare everybody about all these problems that create health issues without giving you the answers to them.
No, there are always solutions for all of this stuff. There always will be, because consciousness creates reality. And actually, if people go to my blog at freshandaliveblog.com, there's an article there called Staying Healthy in an Era of GMOs, Geoengineering, and Biowarfare or Nuclear Fallout or something. But that article details my protocols and products and things that I recommend and what I do. And, you know, it's like with these hurricanes that came through Houston and Florida recently, there was a lot of fearful reaction from people contacting me saying, get out, and,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right,
you're going to die, and, well, it's been nice knowing you, and that kind of stuff. and you know, and I'm not stupid. If it looked like destruction of my home and stuff was imminent, I would leave. But
right,
I've been through, like, 8 or 9 hurricanes in various places around the world. I've been through floods and fires and tornadoes and earthquakes, mm-hmm, and I've always been fine. And the thing that I tell people is this: there are no safe places anymore on this planet. There are only safe people. And
right,
if you're awake and aware, and you take responsibility for creating your reality consciously,
mm-hmm,
you will create a safe environment. You know, it's like,
well, Tampa's an example of that. There were a great number of people in Tampa doing spiritual work, and that surge did not occur. The
right,
destruction was much less than was predicted. And Fred Rowe, who is a member of my meditation group, was down there at the time in a shelter and told us about all of the major spiritual work that was being done. So that is a bunch of safe people doing spiritual work, and then you see the result is it was much less than it was supposed to be.
Precisely. And people think that, oh, getting together in prayer groups or meditation groups or whatever doesn't work, it's nonsense. No. The physics
scientifically
of it is
shown to work.
Absolutely. And
yeah,
I know how it works. When you, human beings ourselves, we are scalar energy antennas. We're actually,
mm-hmm,
transceivers. We pick it up from the sun and the earth, and we rebroadcast it outward in a local field. And we can create a scalar vortex by envisioning,
mm-hmm,
it. And so when you get people together, particularly in a circle, and you're creating a scalar wave vortex and sending it up into space and envisioning a bubble of light over your area and over yourself,
mm-hmm,
what you're doing is creating a scalar wave vortex just like my devices do. And when you get,
mm-hmm,
in a group, particularly in a circle, you create a much larger vortex that can then protect you. It can clean the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It can physically alter matter. And this has been proven within the body by doing things like Kriya Kundalini Yoga and meditation practices where you can actually heal disease in the body by altering the matter in the body. This is a capability that we have that the powers that be on this planet are terrified that we will regain and learn and
right,
remember.
Well, we've been meeting weekly in Atlanta since 1990 to create these vortexes, and there's been a lot of instances in Atlanta where there should have been much more disaster than there was. The bridge that was burnt as a punishment, it was actually red mercury that was used to burn the bridge on I-85. A plane crashed in the middle of 285 at 10 o'clock and nobody was killed other than people in the plane. My friend who lives in Delonico, which is about, an hour north, says that he watches the weather patterns and they just go around Atlanta in many cases. The, you know, the tornadoes and the bad, the bad weather patterns coming down from the north. So I think that that's proof that there is a great deal of protection here, and I'm sure we're not the only group that meditates here. I'm glad Atlanta is very, very large, and there's a lot of spiritually based people here, but that shows you that there is a great deal of protection.
Absolutely, I know for a fact. There are also people there that have cloud busters and different types of scalar devices.
Yeah,
they're clearing
exactly.
as well.
So the more we can learn about this, the more we can protect ourselves and our homes, and hopefully the powers that be are going to find it more and more difficult to just survive with these energies coming in, and we won't be having to deal so much with them. But we are coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. My main website is freshandalive.com, and my blog is freshandaliveblog.com, and I'm on Facebook and social media and all that. And so I post a lot of this kind of stuff on Facebook from time to time.
Well, great. Would you like to give a final message to our listeners today?
Sure. The main thing that I always like to leave people with is to not despair ever, because when you truly get that consciousness creates reality and you create your reality, and you can test it. You don't have to take my word for it. You can test it.
Mm-hmm.
Examine your beliefs and stay focused on what you want to create and see what happens. But when you get that, when you truly get that at a deep level, then you no longer have to worry about whatever crazy thing is going to come our way, because you can create health and happiness and abundance amidst all of the chaos and poisoning and everything else. And it is
right.
going to end. It's going to end one way or another. It has to. It's not sustainable.
Well, I think today's an example. Today is one of the points of shifting, and there'll be other points of shifting. And each time this occurs, there's, I guess, spiritual empowerment of the people working for the light and disempowerment of the people not working for the light. So just remember the whole planetary ascension that's occurring is in our favor. So,
absolutely. And that's why, actually, in my mind, the biggest issue that we have on this planet is not the radiation or the chemtrails or any of that. It is mind control.
Right.
The mind control has been going on this planet. People have got to wake up and break out of that, because if you're not creating your own reality consciously, then somebody's creating it for you.
Exactly. And I've been involved a lot with that lately, too. But anyway, Ken, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and hope to get you back on soon.
My pleasure, anytime.
Thanks a lot.
You,
this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we are going to be interviewing Maureen St. Germain, Waking Up in 5D. This is a fabulous book on the what we were talking about, the interdimensional shifts. New material here that will help you understand ascension like really no other book I've read so far. Thank you very much, and join us next week.